Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinized, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Give us a call, 515-602-9731. Push one to be part of the conversation or you listen along. That is an awesome song. I just love that song. That's a great one there. It's The Roadman by Big House. It was on the soundtrack for Black Dog. You know, the Black Dog movie, now that you think about it, looking back on it, and when you first watched it, when I first watched it, I was like, that's kind of corny because, first off, you know, I don't know. The route they took was just stupid. You know, if you're going to go from Atlanta to Jersey, you just go 20 to 95. Okay. You don't go up 85. There's so much traffic there in South Carolina. You know, you don't want to start having to hit traffic until you get to, Northern Virginia. And if you get 20 to 95, you won't start hitting any heavy traffic to your, you know, you get past, what's the name of the town? Richmond. You know, once you get there and you get to the other side of Richmond, then it starts getting a little heavy. But, I mean, 85 and then 26. He took 26 through the mountains. Of course, it couldn't be, you know, it couldn't have that mountain, that cool mountain scene where the idiot in the bobtail loses a gear. You know, I mean, come on now. Losing a gear, a bobtail? Come on. But his brakes were fried because he jammed on the brakes there locking it up, you know, when he was trying to stop him. And yeah, that was kind of silly too. But, hey, it was fun. But that song is one of the songs on the soundtrack, and it's pretty cool. And of course, Red Atkins did Driving My Life Away. So that was a good movie. And we had a lot of fun. I had fun watching it. I remember the movie coming out, and it was a Friday, and I was in Stockton, California. I picked up a load, and I'm like, you know, it's one of those long loads that has to go across the country. I think it was going to Chicago, but I had like all weekend to get there. And I said, you know what? I'm going to shut down for the night. I want to go see that movie. That's what I did. And I went to the closest movie theater. You truck drivers out there, if you guys out there, or even if you're thinking about becoming a truck driver, catching a movie is great because, you know, most of the guys are out there by themselves. So, you know, they got to find something to do to pass the time when you get kind of bored. And you walk into a truck stop sometimes, and sometimes there's a stupid movie on, and you're walking right in the middle of it. And then some people are just talking to the whole thing, you know, and I'll plead guilty to that, you know, chattering during the movie. But, hey, if you get to a, you know, back in the day, let's bring back, hey, how about that? Bring back the old truck stops, the old Petros that actually have a movie theater inside the Petro where you can just walk in and catch the movies, and there's always a movie playing, you know, or maybe you can, and maybe, you know, some of those little mom-and-pop places, even at the Iowa 80, if you go to Iowa 80, it's really nice, actually. The movie theater's up on the second floor, and they have a schedule, and they put it up there and say, hey, you know, we got these movies playing, and then you walk up there, and you can just, you know, go catch a shower and catch a movie. And I even think they have free popcorn there, too, sometimes. I don't know. Can't remember. But, you know, hey, grab some popcorn, you know. Some of those truck stops, what they would always do is they would sell out of those little Pop Secrets or, you know, the microwave popcorn. They'd have them in the truck stops, and then they would have the microwave there. And truck drivers would be saying, I'm sitting here watching a movie, and a good movie's about to come on, something maybe I haven't seen in a while, or maybe I haven't seen ever before, and it's just now fixing to start. I'm going to run in there and grab me a soda and some popcorn and enjoy the movie like a real movie theater, but I didn't have to pay the movie ticket. You know, maybe I bought, you know, everything works out, you know. Or you go ahead and you get somewhere where there might not be a movie theater, or the movie theater's not that bad. Hammond, Louisiana comes to mind, actually. Hammond, Louisiana, the Petro there, they've got an actual separate from the actual truck stop. They have like a theater, but it's kind of run down. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just theater experience. I think they're just chairs. They're not even like movie chairs, you know, and it hasn't been updated in a while. But what I did was, is last time I remember parking there and seeing a movie was I parked at the truck stop at the Petro there in Hammond, Louisiana. What is it? Exit 50 or something like that on 12. I don't remember the exit number, but you know, or you park wherever, park at the Pilot across the street. You know, sometimes you can find parking down the road there at the Speedco. They'll allow parking back there in the back and just get parked, call an Uber, and the Uber, I mean, it's not that expensive. They just, I mean, well, nowadays it probably is,
But they pick you up wherever you could tell them to come get you, and then they'll take you across the highway, or you can walk, but it's on the other side of the interstate. There's a big mall, and back in the back, there's a movie theater. And I remember doing that. I caught the movie theater. I think I even knew the movie was going to start late. The movie, I got there at like 7, 6:30, something like that, for the night. And the movie didn't start until 9 or 8:30 or something. So I was able to go to one of the restaurants and grab something to eat, you know, and then walk over to the theater. It's right there. And it's all right there. And then afterwards, the pain in the ass was is that late at night, I mean, it got out close to midnight in Hammond, Louisiana. It was kind of hard to find an Uber back. So I think I walked like half the way. But anyway, it was cool. The shopping, the mall there, it was nice. You know, you just walk around and, of course, get your head in your phone, whatever. But, hey, some good movie. And it was a good, I think it was a Friday night. And, you know, Friday night trucking, can't beat it. Out on the road. I mean, if you're going to be on the road, that's probably the best thing you can do. It'd be kind of cool if other people were there, friends, you know, the other truckers that you might run into and all that. And that's always a good thing, too. Keep in contact with your trucker friends and meet up with them. I tell you what, people don't really realize it, that the trucking industry really launched. I mean, once the trucking public caught on to Facebook and social media and all that, oh, man, boom, right? Because the people that we actually wanted to talk to, you either called them one-on-one or, you know, just had to run into them whenever you run into them. Well, now with all that stuff, it's like you can keep up with where they're at. They can tell you where they're at. They can tell everybody where they're at. And everybody had a lot of fun. So, yeah, it was really cool. It was a great time. Good deal. So, yeah. So, anyway, this is Redneck and I's Radio live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every weekday. You can call in 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. You can find the links to our YouTube channel on our website, redneckandeyes.com. And that's been great for us, the YouTube channel. But there's other stuff over there. You can go like our Facebook page or our Instagram account. You can go follow our Instagram account and Twitter. We got Twitter too. And, you know, we're not really active on Twitter that much, but hey, you know, whenever we do have anything going on, we send things out there, but you can check our website for that too. And then we got links to all of our great sponsors. A great sponsor I'd like to mention right now is Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the Trucker Tools app. If you need to download freight, you can download the app and track your freight. You can book freight just like any other booking app. And also you can plan your route. They got where you can find Walmart, you can find truck stops, you can find parking, you can find fuel stops, maintenance, all that stuff right on the app. So go check it out. Trucker Tools, truckertools.com is the website, or download their app from your app store. And we appreciate all their support of Redneck and I. So this is Redneck and I's Radio. We're talking about all things trucking and then some, and then whatever else you got going on. So give me a holler. Like I said, this is Redneck and I's Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
Scientific finger licking. I paid the tab and the lady asked me how to like my biscuit. I'll be honest with you, ma'am. It ain't like mama fixed it. Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch picking. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from. I chased the sun on 101 somewhere around Ventura. I lost the universal joint and I had to use my finger. This tall lady stopped and asked me if I had plans for dinner. Said, no thanks, ma'am, back home we like the girls that sing soprano. Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch sitting. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from. I'm heading home on 65 somewhere around Kentucky. When the CB rings, the bobtail rig, it's rolling on like thunder. And I answered him, and he asked me, aren't you from out in Tulsa? No, but you might have seen me there. Just dropped a load of salsa. Where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch picking. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of back porch picking. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from, where I come from, yeah, where I come from. A lot of front porch sitting, staring up at heaven. Where I come from, where I come from, trying to make a living.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Knives Radio. Appreciate you joining along. Give me a call, 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and Knives Radio, all things trucking and then some. Talking about life on the road, what's going on in the trucking industry, or whatever you got going on tonight. And we're here every week, 9, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call right here, 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel right there at theredneckandknives.com. You can find links to all that right there. We appreciate everybody doing that. And thanks to all our great sponsors. Another great sponsor, like you mentioned, that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And they're drop-dead busy over there. If you're looking to stay busy and, you know, get some good equipment, check them out, 720-277-0030. It's Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. Or give them a call at 720-277-0030. So we was checking out some what's – like we've been saying here on Redneck and Eyes, is that the freight market is slowing down. Okay, we know that, right? We know the economy is going to be taking a dive. Even today, they said they're going to raise interest rates again, which means they're trying to slow the economy. They're trying to raise unemployment because they're trying to slow down inflation. Okay? And anybody out there says, oh, inflation don't matter to me. Yeah, it does. Okay, if you got money in the bank sitting there in your savings account, okay, you're not earning hardly any interest. And then what happens is that inflation is just the price of money, is how valuable the dollar is. And right now, that money you've been saving for the last 2 years, it's like 15 to 16% less valuable than it was 2 years ago. So inflation does matter. Okay. And right now it's not even slowing down to where they'd like to see it. So the economy is going to get bad. Everybody's just trying to put a positive spin on it. All these experts that claim that they got all these indexes and outlooks and all that stuff, they all say, oh, it's, you know, everything's doing all right. It's doing all right. Okay. This article came out today from freightwaves.com. It says, what latest BMO numbers tell us about trucking health weakening, but not rapidly. Okay. It says Key Lenders quarterly report shows deteriorating conditions coming off low base. Transportation write-offs and allowances at Canada's BMO Bank, a significant lender to the trucking industry, continue to rise in the company's first quarter, but the deterioration was nowhere near on a level that could be considered severe. Well, no, I mean, severe. What are you going to call it, severe? I mean, okay, it goes down. Okay, that's not good, right? I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, the guy chopped off my finger, but at least it wasn't my hand. You know, come on. It says BMO's transportation group had a book of business in the first quarter, which ended January 31st, of about $13.7 billion, and with about 90% of the transportation group's book of business led to trucking loans. Its financial performance can be seen as a strong indicator of a health of smaller fleets, as the large portion of its businesses is believed to be centered on that segment. The lowest estimate of the size of the transportation group's number of clients is 10,000, which would mean the highest average loan per client could be $1.37 million or just over $1 million in U.S. currency at the current conversion rates. So, I mean, this is not even the small guys. Small fleets. What small fleets? Okay, you're dealing with $1.37 million loan. Come on. All right? There's guys out there running around trying to borrow $10,000 so they can fix a truck and get it back on the road. So, you know, don't even get me going about all this stuff. I mean, it's small fleets. What do you call small fleet? They don't even point that out. So it's just crazy stuff. But that's what we've been saying here is, you know, hey, keep your powder dry and, you know, do what you got to do to make your money, because they're going to keep doing it. It's going to keep going down. It's going to keep going down. And I don't even think we've hit the worst of it all. It's going to get pretty bad. It's going to have to. And if the Biden administration was smart, they'd do it now. They'd hit it now. They'd like hit the brakes now. Get inflation under control now. It's going to hurt, but they're not going to do that. They're going to trickle right along, and they're going to tell you everything's fine because the media is going to cover for them, and that's what's going to happen. And then the Republicans are going to get elected because people aren't stupid. And what do you call everything's going to boom again. You remember when that idiot, what was the guy's name? The guy that owns the Dallas Mavericks. You know what I'm talking about. He come out there and said, if Donald Trump gets elected, the stock market's going to crash. It's just the opposite happened. It like soared. I mean, it was like boom. Because most of those businesses, I mean, the Republican Party has always been about business. It's always been about free market business, being able to do business. Low regulations, low banking rules, all that stuff. Let's do business. So, you know, in the trucking industry, just understand that when a Republican gets elected, things are going to boom. All right. They might spiral out of control toward the end because guess what they do? They let everything go, and then everything goes, and then guess what? It's got to come back down. You know, that's what's going to have to happen. You see that all the time. Like right now, because of the pandemic, people are coming back to work because of the supply chain issues. You had a boom of trucking companies. So it's really easy to become a trucking company. And so everybody that came into the country and said, I know how to be a truck driver, you know, everybody that had a little bit of money in their pocket said, hey, I can be a truck driver. I can get my own authority. I can go buy a truck and do all this. And then they did. And then that was the rates get lowered. So boom, you know, now trucking businesses are going to have to go out of business in order for everything to pick back up again. So, but all I got to tell you there, if you are trying to make some money, maybe you ought to stay away from East Palestine. I don't know. Ain't nobody said anything yet, but the one guy said today that by everything, the cleanup effort, by the time it's all done, could see 30,000 trucks going in and out of East Palestine to get all the waste out of there. And I just hope the truck drivers are making their money. That's all I can hope for, is that it's going to be, you know, where they're going to be able to get paid. Because knowing all the, like, political stuff going on there and knowing all the money that's going to have to be spent, and, you know, all those politicians, they're going to all get their money. You know, they're not going to say anything good about the railroad companies until they get paid. And then the bureaucrats, they're going to show up there, and, of course, they're going to work. Like, they get everything, all their expenses are paid. They show up there. They shake a few hands. They take some pictures. They got their little hard hat on and all that. And then they collect their money. So make sure you get yours. That's all I got to tell you, is make sure you get your money. If you're going to be working in a dangerous facility area like that, where there's a lot of hazardous waste spills and poor working conditions, make sure you get paid. That's all I can tell you. So Let's go to the phone lines here. Who we got going on here? Looks like it's Ohio. What's going on?
Well, it's me. Now.
Yeah.
To the East Palestine deal.
Yeah.
30, what'd they say, 30,000 trucks coming in there hauling that waste out of there?
Eventually, yeah. I mean, that's what it's probably going to end up being, they're going to need.
If they dozed that whole town down, leveled that whole town, there wouldn't, I don't think there'd be 30,000 loads there if they took the whole town out. Who in the hell would start that bullshit?
That's some politicians, man. Politicians, they love that stuff. They get on Fox News and CNN, and they're standing there holding the mic, you know. That's what
I don't see 30,000 loads of anything there in a dump truck or otherwise if they doze the whole town down. It's a big town. Don't get me wrong. It's a pretty good-sized city, but it's not, you know, they're making it sound like it's the size of Youngstown or Cleveland. 30,000, I don't see it.
Right. Maybe they got to go do some digging. I mean, maybe it's going to be a big old layer. I mean, or this is one of those things too. When you see government doing stuff, they're like, okay, this truck it can hold 40,000 pounds of you know whatever dirt, whatever you want to do. This big dump truck. Well, what is it what do you call an end dump? How much dirt do you think that end dump can haul? How many pounds?
Well, first of all.
No.
Here's the problem I got. Why in the hell should, good for the trucks, you know, if they can get the money to haul it out of there. But why should the taxpayers, the railroad's going to pay some of it, but we don't know. The taxpayers is going to put the bill on some of it, too. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why in the hell should the taxpayers and the taxes go to help clean that mess up when Norfolk Southern made the mess? They didn't have them tracks wasn't closed, 3 days, and they already had new tracks, new railroad bed, new gravel, everything run down through there, and the trains was going down the track. They didn't clean up what was underneath of that railroad tracks. All they did was took and scraped the old rail and the ties off and the gravel, pushed it off the side, leveled it, put new gravel and rock down through there, and got that train line open. That's the only thing they give the damn about was to get them trains moving. All right, being said, Norfolk made the mess. Why should dump trucks have to come in there and haul it out? Make Norfolk Southern bring their damn cars down through there, like them coal cars and stuff. Bring them down there, bring a whole load of them empties down there, line them up down through there, start loading that shit in them cars, let them haul their own shit away.
Yeah,
why should the trucking industry have to do it? Make them clean their own damn mess up.
Right, because I mean, if you're a government agency like that, if you're concerned, I mean, it would be kind of cool if there was like some tree huggers down there saying, hey, we're trying to get all of this hazardous material off the highways, and by you dumping it down here, now you're putting it all back on the highway. Put it on the train.
Exactly.
Of course, I know what, but you know what that does. That ties that line up. They don't want to do that.
Exactly. That's exactly it. They don't want to tie that railroad up.
Yep.
Shut one of them lines down. There's two sets of tracks running down through there.
Yep.
So if they lose one set of tracks because them cars taking up on one track, it's shutting down commerce. That's their problem.
Yep. That's right.
Had they done
exactly
what
right.
they should have done to start with and done more safety and more inspections and more on them cars and on them trains, put more regulations on them like they do us, maybe it wouldn't happen. We
That's
go
right.
out here and spill 50 gallons of diesel fuel. They'll dig a hole in the ground in the middle of the blacktop or whatever big enough to put this truck in and bury it to make sure they get every drop of diesel fuel out of there. Them assholes goes and dumps 4 or 5 train cars full of that crap in the ground, scrape the top of it off, cover it up with gravel, and say, okay, it's cleaned up.
Yeah, just imagine if you were an owner operator with your own authority, and you're going down the road, and one of your wheel bearings goes out and causes a wreck. The whole thing's on you. It's all on you.
Exactly.
You know. So yeah.
You get sued.
You know what I mean?
You get sued for millions of dollars if that wheel comes off and hits somebody and hurts them. God knows they kills them. But how many people is going to have illnesses and stuff from breathing that air? Now, we've heard for how many weeks now, last couple weeks now, about how clean the air was, how good the air was, quality, and how good the water was. Today, it come out that the air quality was above, it wasn't, you know, it was below normal standards. It means it ain't good quality air down there now. How does it change in 2 weeks from being perfectly good a week ago to shit today?
Right. Well, even the EPA guy was down there, and he was drinking the water, but I never saw him pull it out of the faucet. I just saw him pick up a glass.
No.
That's all. I don't know
I'll tell you where it come from. It come out of D.C. It come right from a pallet of water that they brought in with them.
That's what I was going to say.
But that being said, there's something wrong with the water down there, too, because it's making everybody stupid down there.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a long time going there. That's been doing that for years. Yep, I don't think that's going to get
fixed.
Yeah,
well, it's crazy.
Yeah, but back to the 30,000 trucks thing, I think what's going to happen is you got the bureaucrats there in Washington. Like you're saying, the taxpayers are probably going to have to flip the bill up front. They're going to have to go, you know, fine the railroad companies. But what's going to happen is let's say that you can max out. They're not going to max out the trailers. They're going to say only put 5,000 pounds of dirt in that one truck that can hold 20 or 30. You know, that's what they're going to do. Because they nitpick at crap like that, you know.
It wasn't but a couple of days after that happened, they started bringing tankers in there and hauling hazardous wastewater out of there when they loaded. We know of two tanks for sure that went to Houston, to Texas, one of them deep injection wells. Now, you tell me how that's safe. I don't give a damn on a deep injection well. They can inject that shit as deep as they want to into the earth. But sooner or later, it's going to work its way to a water system somewhere.
That's right.
Why? Why would you take that wastewater and inject it back into the ground deep and say, well, it's deep enough in the ground, it'll never come back? You'd have to go to the core of the earth, and how can you do that? You can't do that. It's not possible.
Yeah,
the water is going to seep back up.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is that Mother Nature, if given the proper time and as long as it ain't, I mean, you're right. I'm not going to say, hey, it might happen. But, you know, they had a lot of problems with, like, oil spills and all that. And they say, oh, the marshlands in Jersey were all getting contaminated and all that. And then what they found out is that the marsh, because of the swamp and the fermentation of all the vegetation there and all that, it was actually cleaning the water. And so I could say that Mother Nature can do it. It's just I don't know if it can do it with the high. You know, that's the problem. You got the intensity of the chemical, which is really bad because it was used as nerve gas. It turned itself into gas. It was World War I nerve gas, and then also the amount of it. If you put it in the ground deep, you know what's to say the concentration of it? It'll never go away because it's so high concentrated. So yeah, I agree. I mean,
all right. People have been fighting that shit. What I understand, when you was down at our house, and you probably don't know it, but right over there in Newell, West Virginia, right across the river, where we went over to eat breakfast, just south of there in Newell, during the Vietnam War, they made Agent Orange right over there in Newell. That's where the Agent Orange was made.
That's right. You said that.
And
yeah, I remember that.
For years after that, now this is what's going around. For years after that, you could go over there and look at the whole side of that hill, and there was no green on the side of that mountain over there, on the side of that hill. Everything was brown over there for years before anything grew back because of the gas and everything off of that Asian orange. And it killed everything. It killed everything, all the vegetation, just what it was meant to do. All right, now, back to the tankers and the wastewater and everything. The tankers that come in there and hauled it out of there, which was – we know two loads. We don't know how many more loads, but I know the two loads that went out there. We all know. I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't mentioning names. Ain't mentioning companies. I'll, you know, I'll just keep at, you know, whatever. But it's one thing to do it and to have the to get the loads and to make money off of it. I understand we're all in this game with these trucks to make money. But
right.
You're going to get on there and brag, you know, you're picking it up here and you're taking it there, and the money don't pay too bad either. Now, you're doing shit like that on other people's misfortune. That people already suffering up there enough with that shit, and then you're going to get on there and brag about all the money you're making or what that load's paying you to haul it out of there? You know, I haul loads of freight all day long. I don't get on on Facebook and brag about it and run my mouth all the time. You know, one of them did, one of them didn't. Kudos to the one that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy called me. We know who that was. He called me and asked me what it was like up there in Palestine. And I said to that person, I don't know. I live about probably 15 miles south of there. I says, to what I understand, it's not good up there. The air quality is kind of nasty. I said, I know you pull tankers. So I said, if you've got a respirator to go into the chemical plants, it's up to you. You might want to put that respirator on while you're out of the truck up there just to keep from breathing that crap until you get out of there and get on your way. And he said, yeah, I got that. I'll try that. And that's the last I heard out of it. And I understand it's all about making money. But when you start bragging about it, you know, and taking advantage of somebody's misfortune, I mean, that's bullshit. You know, I mean, it's like nobody, you know, you don't see every time FEMA, when you got a major disaster down there, a tornado, hurricane or something, you know, them people's hauling it in. And I'm not saying that there ain't some of them doing it, but you don't see on Facebook where everybody's bragging about all the money that they're making hauling for FEMA and hauling relief aids and stuff down to these hurricane victims and tornado victims and stuff. No, they're glad to do it to be able to help them. Yes, they're getting paid to do it, but they're not sitting there bragging about the money that they're making on them people's misfortune. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. But, you know, like I said, 30,000 trucks. I mean, they may get 30,000 trucks out of there, but if they do, they're going to – I don't know where they're going to get 30,000 trucks or 30,000 loads out of that, you know, mile stretch or whatever where that chemical was actually leaked into the ground. And whatever come out in the air and went downwind, it went clear over into Pennsylvania, down into West Virginia, wherever it went in the air and settled on the ground. What are they going to dig? What are they going to do? Dig all the topsoil off the ground from East Palestine to clear down past Pittsburgh, you know, in a 15, 20, 30 mile radius. I mean, what is their point? Where do they? I don't get it. You know, I mean, I can see that stuff soaking in the ground, maybe 8-10 feet or so, 12-20, you know, 15, but 30,000 trucks. I don't know where they get their figures. I think they're cooking the books is what they're doing.
I agree. Yeah.
I don't know. I've been wanting, last weekend we was up that way up in Youngstown, and I told Tim, I said, we should drive down through Palestine. They got it open and go down and see, because that one big company right there, that big blue building you see on there, we used to haul out of there all the time. It used to be a tube mill in there, a tube tech. Tube mill in there years ago. We used to haul a lot of tubing out of there down to Laredo. You know, went down to a company over in Mexico, made grills and stuff. We hauled it everywhere. But that building right there, you know, like I said, we used to work right there out of East Palestine for a guy, you know, parked the trucks up there. And I want to go up there just to see for myself just how bad it is now. I mean, they got a lot of it cleaned up. But it's like, you know, there's no sense in going up there. You know, it's like, when there's a tornado, everybody wants to go drive around, snoop around, and look and be nosy. You know, it's like people's going,
right.
They're going through enough without, you know, tourists coming through there, you know. But anyhow, that's my rant. I'll shut up. Let somebody else come in.
Well, I was just noticing an article over here is that Fort Wayne, Indiana, they have a General Motors full-size truck plant there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Yep. They say they're shutting down for 2 weeks. in coming up in March.
Yep.
They said it'll begin March 27th. They'll shut down for 2 weeks, and they say the company says the two-week scheduled shutdown of its Fort Wayne, Indiana facility, which builds the Silverado 1500 and the Sierra 1500, is a result to increased production and missed steady demand. And they say that they want to maintain optimal dealership inventory levels is the reason why they're shutting down. But there are they got other plants that build these trucks in Michigan, Canada, and Mexico. So they'll continue to operate, but that Fort Wayne, Indiana is going to shut down for 2 weeks. And that particular plant in Fort Wayne, it puts out 1,300 of those pickup trucks a day what it does.
I know when I was pulling that expedited, I hauled a lot out of there, a lot of parts in there and a lot of stuff out of there, along with up in Flint and, you know, Michigan, Dearborn, all over. I mean, all the automotive plants for GM, Wentzville, Missouri,
yep.
There's big ones there. They're everywhere. But, we hauled a lot. I did a lot of that. But that's a big plant up there in Fort Wayne, out there in Fort Wayne. That's a pretty good-sized plant out there.
Yeah, it's a...
Hey, Ed.
What's that?
Is that the station that's breaking up, or is it my phone? Because it was doing it earlier when the music was playing, and I sent Tiff a message, and she said it sounded good on her end, but after the music quit playing, it cleared up. And it's been perfectly clear. Now it's starting to, like, crackle, break up again on my end. I don't know if it's my phone or if it's something with the station or what.
Yeah, it either that or it might be the volume level, because sometimes the website kicks out the volume if it gets too high.
I don't know. I can't tell you the difference in that, but I know it's starting to break up.
Yeah, that must be you, because I can hear it just fine, and that doesn't seem like anything stuttering. I can hear you just fine, looks like Robbie just gone. Let's see what Robbie's got.
No, I think it's the station, because it's breaking up on me, too. It's not just Greg's phone.
See, and it ain't mine. So, Tiff, huh? Stick your butt, too, because Robbie's got the problem, too.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah.
Mine is just
don't mute her ass and keep muting her because she'll just unmute it.
she unmuted herself.
You know,
you're right. You started talking crap on me. That's why.
Ed, you were just saying about that plant in Fort Wayne that was shutting down for a couple weeks. Mom posted yesterday the Chrysler plant in Belvidere, Illinois, is shutting down, period. They're closing doors.
They're closing it down indefinite. Wow.
Yeah. They opened her post said it was a sad day in my hometown, which my mom's from Belvidere, Illinois. The Chrysler plant pushed out its last vehicle today. The plant being shut down from 1965 to 2023, 11 million cars were pushed out of that plant.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, it's on ABC News.
And
right
I've hauled in the Chrysler there quite a few times, too.
Wow.
ABC
that's
News.
That's one plant I never went into.
Yep. It says over 1,000 automotive workers in Illinois will clock out of the Jeep assembly plant for the last time on Tuesday, which I guess was yesterday. Let's see when.
Yep.
I mean, yep. And it says stopping what a local union president describes as the heartbeat of a small city. So the city's going to die. It's pretty much dead. Hang on a second. Let me bring this back in here.
How many did that employ?
1,350 employees laid off.
Wow.
Yep.
Let's go, Brandon.
There you
go.
What'd that do for your unemployment rate?
There's a lot of guys up there that do a lot of farming, too. So.
Yeah.
There's a lot of farming up there.
The president of the local workers union says it's like living a nightmare every day. Says in December, multinational automotive giant Stellantis announced that they would be idling their Belvidere, Illinois assembly plant on February 28th, indefinitely laying off 1,350 employees. The factory, which had served as an economic engine for the town of Belvidere since the 1960s, also spawned thousands of local jobs, according to the union official. 400 additional jobs for different companies supplying the plant have also been cut due to the factory's idling. So there you go.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah, but it says the Stellantis decision to leave Belvidere leaves many of the city's 25,000 residents with an uncertain future, with some former employees driven to relocate to fully obtain benefits and those left behind unsure about the long-term viability of their company, of their community, without the factory that served for the town's economic anchor. It says you're either forced to take a pay cut or uproot your family, your entire family, said Jeremy Snow, co-owner of an auto repair shop in Belvidere. He later added, I just feel like there's definitely a million ways they could have done better, and they didn't care. There you go. I mean, to me, they have the numbers because they know 1,350 employees, and they know there's 400 additional, like, contractors, whatever, or supply
right.
guys. But just imagine restaurants, you know, this guy with the repair shop. I mean, you know, who's it's that always said companies have to do what they can to bring in outside. Like, they should kiss truck drivers' ass. All little communities should kiss truck drivers' ass, because the money that the truck driver brings in is not from the community. It's like, I don't deliver pizzas, so that means that everybody that pays me is not from the local community. My money is made from outside, because I'm always outside the area. So my money is made from the outside of the area, and then I bring the money back into the community and spend it locally, you know, paying my taxes, paying for restaurants or grocery stores or whatever. So that's like, I mean, that's like a godsend to any small community trying to stay afloat. I mean, that's what you got to do is that you got to bring in outside investors, and you don't, you know, that's what's going to happen here is it's going to die, because you can't just rely on farming, and you can't just rely on restaurants and travelers or whatever.
Well, you remember for years, after 76 truck stops closed down, Truck Stops of America, that's what it started out at, TA, Truck Stops of America. Then it went to Travel Centers of America, whatever.
Yep.
All right, now, they went around and bought all the 76s up, correct? Most of them was bought up by TA. All right, they left the restaurants and everything, and then they started windowing down. TA got greedy, so they found out that they could start, you know, putting these little fast food joints in all of them, and take the restaurants out, cut their employees, put them little franchises in for Popeyes and Burger King and McDonald's and Hardy or whatever, you know, what have it. Okay, now, and it stayed like that for a while. Then they went and Pilot had to get in the mix, and they went. And now, I remember when Pilot first started, they was nice little fuel stops. Pilot sucks now. That's what I was telling Tiff earlier. I'm sitting right here in Youngstown now at Girard here at the Petro, and I'm looking at the fuel signs. Diesel over here at the Pilot or Petro is $4.09 cash or credit. Look right across the street over at the Pilot. Pilot's $4.20 for credit and $4.14 for cash. Pilot was always cheaper than TA and Petro.
Yeah.
All right, now, you go to Speedway or Sheets, or there's a Speedway right down the road here about 15 miles. Well, the Speedway right over here in Youngstown, I think it's $3.99 now, or the Sheets. That Speedway out there at Kent, Ohio, out there about 15 miles out the road, $3.99. I got it over in Indiana for $3.99 today at that little marathon's over there. Now, what do you know? There's one day the fuel's up, next day it's down. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. What's driving the market now? It's not the weather now. The weather's been calm up here, really, this winter. We haven't had too much weather. Hell, it's almost 70 degrees. I think it did hit 70 up here today. All right, but now, back to that.
Majority of the weather's been out on the West Coast.
Right, but these truck stops, back to that. TA and them went and balled all, everything up. Then Pilot went and started buying all the little ones up. They got Mr. Fuel after a while. And now, I heard the other day, I don't know, I haven't done much checking on it, where BP is buying a lot of the TAs. And they're going to restructure the TAs. Some of them, they're going to start tearing a lot of them down and redoing them, rebuilding them, whatever they're doing. Are they going to be back TAs again, or are they going to be a different name on the sign? Are they going to be different from now? They're not going to be TA no more. What are they going to do with them? But BP is bought. Or I heard that they bought TA. They purchased
TA. I think it was last week or something.
Two weeks ago, February 16th, on Reuters.com, BP to buy Travel Centers for $1.3 billion in U.S. fuel retail drive. So there you go.
Somebody needs to buy them and make a truck stop out of them. Because personally, TA and Petro sucks. Anymore, they suck. They used to be nice truck stops, just like Flying J. They had the full-service restaurant in there. You could go in, sit down, get a decent meal that was a little healthier than what they're feeding you now. And same way with the TAs and the Petros. Now they want to throw garbage at you and say, hey, you guys got to start eating healthier. You're too fat. Well, what the hell? When you go in there and feed them greasy hamburgers and you know, you go in there and get something off the damn roller grill or the hot box, half the time the bread's hot so damn hard you could use it for a hockey puck. What the hell? And then $4 or $5 for a damn hamburger.
Yep.
But turkey leg looks like, you go in there and get one of the turkey legs, it looks like something that come out of the Flintstones, look like a brontosaurus leg.
Oh, man. Oh, damn. Yeah, and, I mean, all of them, you know, I mean, down here, everything's fried. Down here, they put the stripes, they have a little area, a little cabinet where everything's hot, and it's fried burrito, you know, fried, they got the corn dogs, and they got the sausage wrapped in a tortilla. I mean, you know, it's like a cardio event waiting to happen. You know, they're just trying to,
They had one of them stripes up in Del Rio when I went up there when I was back early. I went up, stopped up there. I had loads right there in Del Rio. In fact, that was a straw that broke the camel's back when I got back, and I ended up parting ways with them. But, yeah, I loaded out of Del Rio, went to Kansas City, but I stayed at that stripes up there right there in Del Rio that night. You know, that was a nice little town. They was always saying about all the illegals crowding in there and everything. That night I was there, it was pretty quiet around there. People was nice, had little stripes. Everybody in there was pleasant. I mean, it was kind of a little bit of a language barrier in there with me and them, you know, because there they are. They're speaking with a Spanish accent, and I'm talking hillbilly, and we didn't get along. I mean, we got along, but it was kind of everybody was looking at each other like, where the hell are you from? But, you know, it was a nice little place. It was a nice little place. They had good food. I mean, at the time it was good. The next day I ate it that night there, and it ate me the rest of the way to Kansas City and back to home, but it was good.
Right.
But they need to do something. I mean, it's everybody's buying everybody out, just like the trucking industry. I mean, you know, they're talking about the downflow in the trucking, you know, the downturn in it. I mean, it's freight rates are dropping, but you keep seeing more and more, you know, T numbers out there like we was talking yesterday, 6 or 7, 8 digits, getting ready to get into the 8 digits here one day. You know, they keep getting more and more companies, people getting into their own authority, which that's great, but it's not that, it's the brokers. I mean, you get on there and start, do a search or something and see how many freight brokers, you know, trucking freight brokers that there are in this country. You know, he probably couldn't put all their names in a 3-ring binder. I mean, there's just thousands of them, upon thousands of them. When are they going to start fighting with you? What are they going to do next? The trucks was cutting each other's throat, you know, trying to cut each other's throat to get the freight and everything, you know, and get their customer base and everything. What's these brokers going to do next? Are they going to start doing the same thing? Once they start doing that, start cutting each other's throats, trying to get the freight rates down and, you know, try to get it so they can get all the freight. They're going to have the rates cut down so damn low. We ain't going to be able to make it. You ain't going to be able to do nothing. You're going to end up paying them to haul it. Yeah, they're almost doing that now.
And, you know, I bet you more than half of those brokers that, you know, like you're saying, there's thousands and thousands of them, more than half of them are just double booking freight. They're just taking C.H. Robinson and Schneider National Freight and double, you know, and taking it and then brokering it to somebody else.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And there's been laws on the books for how many years against double and triple brokering? It's against the law to double broker freight, but they're doing it, and there's no transparency, no oversight on them. The brokers have nobody overseeing them. Nobody coming in. Turn an organization loose like the IRS on these freight brokers and have them start running around and start investigating these and start doing checking on them and start looking into their books and see what they're doing like they do us as a trucking company. You know, start auditing us and start looking in our books. Start looking into every other company. When they going to start on their freight brokers? Start going around to each one of these brokers and start going in there and say, okay, we're going to do an audit on you. We want to see what you did last year. We want to see how much profit you made, how much money you made, how much freight you moved. What did you do? All right, do you have an office? If you're going to run a brokerage office, you better have a separate office. Not work out of your kitchen, off your kitchen table with a cell phone and a calculator. You know, or a laptop.
Yep. So basically it's kind of like what they're doing is they're getting a DOT number, but they're never hauling any freight. So it's almost because they're calling C.H. Robinson saying, yeah, I'll take that freight. And they're giving them a DOT number because C.H. Robinson says, what's your DOT number and all that. And they send them all that information, but then they don't own any trucks. They just turn around and broker it back. So really what it needs to boil down to is that if you do have a DOT number, then we need also your truck VIN. And we need all the information about how much freight you haul, because if you're not hauling freight and you don't need a DOT number, basically what they need to crack down. Yep. Because what we're seeing is that FMCSA, I guess, is the regulatory commission for trucking. There is nothing else in the trucking industry that regulates anything. And so you need like almost a different organization based in the Department of Justice.
Exactly.
You know, that people get investigated or under the IRS or something, because you're right. I mean, they don't fear the FMCSA. The FMCSA does not, you know, put any kind of fear into a broker doing things bad. You know, they don't even
put
the fear.
The problem is, you know, even if they'd start, there's so many of them. It would take so many, you know, to go out and start checking them out. And once they get enough of them, start going out, start running around and start coming in on them. Once they start moving in on them, you know, they're going to notify them and tell them, look, we're coming in to, you know, see you here, whatever. These people are going to go out of business because a lot of these brokers are working out of their house.
Right.
A lot of them are working out of their, basically out of their house, which that's fine if they've got an office separate from their house and they've got it set up like an office to where they can keep all their files and everything and they're running a legitimate business. I got no problem with that. But like I said, when they're sitting there with a laptop, a cell phone, a calculator and everything, and they're sitting there with a phone at their dining room table or wherever they're doing it, that's bullshit. But once it's like everything else, once they start moving in on them, like a lot of these companies are these little companies. They'll start up these trucking companies. They'll start up these little fly-by-night, 3-4 truck operations, and they'll start up and they'll go out, and they'll get a bunch of tickets and violations and everything and kill somebody, and then FMCSA comes in and says, okay, we're sending you a cease and desist letter. You stop operation right now. Well, they close down the operation. They turn around the next day, get another DOT number, open back up, run under another company. Or once they start moving in on them, start closing in on them, and they know the heat's coming in on them, they just close down completely, just shut everything down, and they're just gone. They're gone. You don't see nothing else from them. Don't hear nothing, nothing. Just like the one that hit me down there in Shepherdsville, Kentucky here a few years ago before the truck show. Chinese company. Had 4 trucks. It was a 4-truck or 5-truck operation. It was Chinese or whatever, foreign entities. All right, 4 of them down there, 4 of their trucks, 3 of their trucks. Anyhow, swung out and hit the fender on my truck. Tip was with me. We was down there at the truck show. Scratch the fender, that's lucky, that's all they did. And the mirror, Tiff was going to kill them, whatever. But anyhow, called them. You know, we got them stopped and everything. She got on there and found her DOT number and everything and got a hold of them. Here they was out of Chicago, the Chicago area. We got a hold of them, talked to them one time and everything, and never heard, never was able to get a hold of them again to see what they was going to do about their truck. Couldn't get a hold of them, out of business. In a matter of 2 or 3 days, they was gone. No, nothing. You couldn't find anything about that company. None. DOT number, nothing. Everything was just like a ghost. It was all gone. Now, that right there, there need to be some regulation, some oversight on that stuff as well as brokers.
Yep, yeah,
these brokers, these freight brokers is getting totally out of hand.
Out of hand. I agree. Hmm. Yeah, that's but like you're saying, it'll take them, if they do start it, it'll take them 10 years to catch up with all the stuff going on. So, yeah.
They'll never get it stopped. It's like trucking companies, yeah. You know. They keep popping up so fast, there ain't no way they can get control of it. But it's whatever. I you know. I just got to hang in about 4 or 5 more years, man, if I can do it.
There you go.
Just do what I can do.
I know.
But,
yep.
Yeah, we've just been talking about it. We've been working on trying to get our own authority for the simple fact that I'm getting tired of working for companies, and you work for a company, and then when you call, they'll get freight, they're brokering freight. Well, what the hell? If I'm going to haul broker freight, I might as well get my own authority and call the broker, get it direct off of them, or work with somebody, or try to get my own customers to haul for me and cut out the middleman. What the hell is the sense of me giving them 25% to find broker freight with me that I can do on my own? Send her to get her broker's license, set her up down there with her phone and her calculator and her laptop down there in the damn office, and let her do it. Let her get a broker's license, and we go out and rob everybody like C.H. Robinson, Landstar, whoever else is out there. Yeah, I know. You got my ass on the soapbox. Well, deal with it.
Hmm.
All right, I'm done.
Yep. Good deal. Yep, that's about it. I got to work, so hope everybody's having a good
show. Yeah, Greg needs to go doing some woosah or something. Got him fired up when he said.
Goose Frobby. Goose Frobby. what is like a, yeah, you need that little watch like Sheriff Buford T. Justice did.
Sheriff Buford T. Justice had, yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
So you want something?
Well, that's what we were talking about. I was talking about, I was talking about movies, and I mean, we need to bring back movie theaters and the truck stops. Remember when the truck stops were actually nice and had movie theaters that you would actually enjoy watching a movie in the truck stop while you're on the road, you know?
Yeah.
So, truck stops are gone to hell. Yep.
Everybody's got to get butthurt about everything.
They just want you to get out and go.
That's what they want, Robbie. You're exactly right. That's why all the paid parking and everything. Out there at New Haven, Indiana last night, right there where you get on 469, that little Flying J right there. I pulled in there last night to grab a coffee on the way out to Burns Harbor out there. Anyhow, I pulled in there, got a cup of coffee. I pulled up. I couldn't even get around the fuel out. And there was trucks sitting there with the four ways on, guys pulling in, backing up, whatever. I thought, what the hell's going on here? Fuel islands, there were two or three fuel islands empty. I went around and pulled through a fuel island, got out, walked in there. There's guys in there. I thought they was going to have a damn mutiny in there. They was in there. The manager, whoever was in there, was out there knocking on doors. And them guys that was in pay parking, they was running them out of there and letting them back another guys in that had paid for it. And some of them was... And they had damn near had a fist fight in there because guys that was parked in there that hadn't paid for the parking spots told them, you got to go. These guys paid for the spots. They got to go. See, it never used to be like that until they started to pay parking. You got there. If there was a spot, you parked in it. They're done. But these truck stops are getting so damn greedy now. There's a lot of these truck stops now. TA and Petro's bad for it, especially right out there in London, Ohio. That TA out there, it's 90%. Just probably about 85 or 90% reserve parking now. Now, what in the hell?
Hmm.
The only one that ain't charging for parking right now, well, a couple of them, Sheets, some new Sheets and Speedways, but is Loves. Loves is the only one that ain't started that yet. Supposedly he says he won't. But so did, you know, you didn't think the pilot would either. And then as soon as TA started it, then they took it, Petro started because of TA, because they're owned by the same. Then Pilot had to get their dick beaters on it. So then they started figuring, well, we can make some money here. So then they started it. Now, horse shit.
But most of those truck stops that do have the paid parking, the parking lot is junk. Now,
right?
Down in Mount Vernon, Illinois, I was down there last weekend. The TA is about 80% reserve parking. Across the street at the Flying J, which is Huck's, the front, the way in the back down the hill, that's paid parking. It's $10 to get into there. The next morning, I went to Napa, which is right down the street, at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I figured that should be pretty, you know, there should be some trucks in there still. There was one truck in there. That's not going to pay for to pay to park. Now there's a pilot across the street that was always full. I don't think they have any reserved over there. So it's,
you're talking about that one in Mount Vernon.
Yeah, Mount Vernon, Illinois.
Petro down there. That's where Diesel Doctor's out now. Right,
yeah.
Down the street from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We used to hang out in there a lot. The tip was because we were running that stuff up there. Oh, I can't think of the name of that town now, right up above there. Up there off of 55, whatever the hell it is.
It's one of those towns.
You saw dog food out of there back down to, wherever the hell it is, down there on 70, down there in Ohio. Anyhow, we got to let Ed go because it's almost 10 after, and he's got to go to work. He's got to make money so he can take care of the homeless.
There you go.
Yeah, I take care of the homeless. Hey, I'm homeless. Ed, can you help me out?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a GoFundMe.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I'm about ready to start a GoFundMe account for me. All right, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow evening.
All right, now.
All right. Tiff will do it tomorrow evening. So, all right. Later.
Later now. Cool deal. So, yeah, that wraps it up for Wednesday. Good show. Good discussions. Getting a lot of things done. Appreciate everybody joining along. Give us a call, 515-602-9731, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in. I'll be off tomorrow. Tiff's going to fill in for us. She does her Women of Redneck and Eyes, and we swapped it. She usually does Wednesday, and I got something to do tomorrow, so we'll get it swapped out and get it swapped back, and then I'll be back Friday, and we're rocking along. All right. RedneckandEyes.com, that's our website. Maybe we can go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And appreciate all of our great sponsors, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com, and Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. So catch us next time. Like I said, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we appreciate you guys listening along. You guys stay safe and keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.